Imagine with me, if you will, you know, the weather's getting warmer, the grass is starting to grow, and you realize that you're going to need a lawnmower to get your grass cut in your yard. And so you go to the store and you buy a brand new lawnmower. And maybe you buy a riding tractor, you buy one of those, maybe it's one of those zero-turn mowers. And you get a really nice one, maybe you got a big yard, you maybe even get one with a diesel engine on it. And you think that you're ready to go. And anyways, you start mowing that lawn. And you're mowing, I mean, the engine's running, you're driving, and nothing's happening. And you just keep going around your yard. In fact, you spend 4, 5, 6 hours mowing your lawn with this brand new lawnmower, and nothing happens. And maybe you, after a few hours of doing this, everything seems to be working properly. You know, you get off the lawnmower and you look underneath the deck and you see there's no blades on this lawnmower. Now, I think that we understand in life that without certain things, you can spend all the energy you want on something and yet not accomplish anything. You know, you can hop out, you can come out, go out to your car this evening, and you can have maybe you just bought a brand new car. But maybe during church, somebody went out there, opened the hood, and disconnected the battery. And you could have a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 vehicle, and without that battery, what's going to happen? Nothing. You're missing a key ingredient to that car, and battery seems like a simple thing. Maybe it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but without it, you're not going to go anywhere, are you? And so there's key ingredients that without them, we're not going to accomplish anything. And I'd like you to take your Bibles this evening and go to Psalm 127. And we're going to be looking just at the, may go a little further, mainly right at the first two verses of this psalm. You know, there is someone that we must realize is the key ingredient to every decision that we make in life. We can expend all the energy we want. We can expend all the resources on something that we want. We can expend all the time that we want. But unless the Lord is the one behind what we are doing, we have wasted everything that we have spent. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." And the title is A Song of Degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. There is nothing that man can do of his own accord that is worthwhile. There is nothing that man can do of his own accord that is worthwhile. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can expend all your energy here. The Bible uses the picture of a house, the building of a house. You know, think of Solomon building the temple. You know, why was the temple a success? Well, it's because the Lord was behind it. Solomon had rest from his enemies. But when did the temple not become a success? When Israel turned from God. And this great edifice, this great building, this beautiful structure was brought down. Why? Because the Lord was no longer the center of the worship of the Israelites. There is nothing that man can do of his own accord that is worthwhile. You know, somebody can say, boy, I need to get an extra job so I can get ahead in life. Well, if the Lord isn't behind that extra job, then guess what? You're not going to get ahead in life. You know, somebody may say, you know, I need to buy a better car so I don't have so many repairs. Well, you better make sure that the car that you're going to buy, the Lord's behind it. Because you, just because you're buying a newer car or another car doesn't mean that you're going to have fewer repairs. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Over in Haggai chapter 1, the children of Israel were expending a lot of energy on things, but they weren't getting anywhere. It says in Haggai 1, verse number 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. Maybe some of you felt like that as you were coming into church. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. So there's all this energy being expent. Energy being spent in agriculture. They're sowing. They're sowing much. Normally when you sow a lot, the normal result would be you would bring in a lot. You eat, but you don't have enough. You're drinking, but you're not filled with drink. So they're doing all the normal things that one would think of that would solve the problem that they have, but it's not working. Why? Because they didn't put the Lord first. God's house needed to be built, but instead they were expending all their energy on their own things while God's house was lying waste. So what was God doing? He was working. They were working. They were working against God. You know, it says they're putting their money into a bag with holes. You know, if you had a bag of coins, you know, if you have a, you know, if maybe you have a pocket that has a hole in it, and you put your change in there, and eventually maybe you feel it in your shoe or something as you're walking along. All right, but there's a bag with holes. Well, what's going to happen? I mean, if you got a bunch of silver pieces or somebody gave you some gold coins, that would be pretty valuable if somebody gave you some gold coins. I don't think you'd put it in a bag with holes in it. What would happen? It would just all come out. Maybe you spent all this time, all this effort, all this energy to earn the money, and it's gone. Why? Because they didn't put the Lord first. You know, there is nothing that we can do of our own accord that's worthwhile. The Lord must be at the center of that decision that we are making. You know what? Have you gotten yourself involved in something that the Lord isn't behind? You better stop now before you waste any more time, any more money, any more energy on something that is going to be futile. Except it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Their labor is in what? Is in vain. It's worthless. Because the Lord isn't the one behind what is taking place. Secondly, I'd like to see that the amount of energy expended on something is not equally proportionate to one's success. All right, the amount of energy expended on something is not equally proportionate to one's success. All right, and you know, you might think, somebody says, all right, equally proportionate. So if you get paid $10 an hour for something and you work 1 hour, you're going to get $10. All right, if you work 4 hours, you're going to get what? $40, all right, is proportionate. It's going to go up. The more hours you work, the more you're going to get paid. Okay, but the Bible says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All right, you can keep spending more time building this house. You can put more valuables into it. You can put more resources into it. But just because you're putting more into it doesn't mean you're going to get more out of it if the Lord is not involved, if the Lord is not behind what you are doing. You know, think of the Tower of Babel. You know, the Tower of Babel, they had plenty of what? Plenty of people to do the work, didn't they? Which means they probably had plenty, they had plenty of resources, didn't they? You know, you think of, you hear debates and they say, well, we just need to get all the, what we need to do is we need to get all these nations together to defeat this thing. Well, just think, at the Tower of Babel, they had plenty of what? Plenty of unity, didn't they? They had everybody in the whole world was unified to build this building. But guess what? God wasn't behind it. God wasn't behind it. And I'm saying we don't need, but what we have to realize in life is that what we need is God behind what we are doing. You know, you could have everybody in the church behind something, but if God isn't behind what everybody in the church is behind, then it's not going to what? It's not going to work, is it? The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's not the amount of people behind something that is equivalent to success. It's not the amount of money that you throw at something that is equivalent to success. Just because you work harder at something does not equate to success. It's when the Lord is behind what you are doing that equals success. We need to make sure that everything that we do, God is behind. There was the Tower of Babel. They had everything, so to speak, but God said, this is not going to happen. You know, think of people that tried to accomplish something. You know, in Numbers chapter 16, you know, Korah and some of the men there maybe were trying to make a name for themselves. They maybe were trying to build their own house. But God what? God swallowed up their house in the earth. Their tent and those that were with them went down. Now, some of Korah's children were not with him because we find his children mentioned later. You know, but we can go against something. You know, when Korah tried to go against the leadership and the other people, Dathan and Abiram, those that were there, they tried to go against Moses' leadership, but guess what? God was not behind what they were doing. And just think, those people, where did they end up? Down in the earth. You know what? Their rebellion, in a sense, was contagious. And later on in that chapter, you find the children of Israel and you know, the great, many people ended up dying in that chapter. And you could look at it more, and I should have it down better. But there was a number of things that happened there that were negative. You know, when we try to do things without God behind what we're doing, we're going to have problems. You know, sometimes people step up in the church and they're going to have their way. But if God's not behind what you're doing, it's going to be what? It's going to be vain. It's going to be empty. It's going to be worthless. And not only can it be worthless, but there are going to be great negative consequences behind what you're doing. Think of Saul's son. You know, God was going to take the kingdom away from Saul and give it to David, a man after his own heart, a man that would fulfill his will. But what happened? Saul's son Ishbosheth wanted to what? Rule on the throne. What happened to him? He died. You know, he was trying to build a house that God said, a line of kings, so to speak, that God said was done. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Is God behind what you are trying to do? Or are you the one that's behind what you're trying to do? Is God behind what you're trying to do? Or is it a group of people that's behind what you're trying to do? And you wish sometimes in the political process that there would be more people aware of the fact that we have problems in this nation because God is not behind what we're doing. You know, we have all this money we need to spend on crime. We have all this money we need to spend on maybe security. But what we need is God. We kicked God out of the public schools, and now there's no longer the what? The inward rule of God in people's hearts. You know, we have, in 2011, I read there was 9 million property crimes that occurred in the United States. In 2011, people spent $20.64 billion on home security systems. Now, some of them may have saved some money on their insurance because they spent money on this, but think of the billions that, I mean, $1 billion, it doesn't, to some people, doesn't maybe seem like as much anymore because you think of all the money that just gets blown in the government. But that's a lot of money. And, you know, you can spend all sorts of money on a home security system. But the Bible says, you know, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but what? Safety is of the Lord. You know, thirdly, I'd like to see that no physical means of security is ever a substitute for God's protection. Now, in all of this, the Bible isn't teaching us that we just sit around and do nothing. All right, go to the book of Proverbs. It teaches diligence. It teaches a hard work ethic. It talks about the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know, consider her ways and be wise. She doesn't have a guide, overseer, or ruler, but yet she prepares ahead of time. Okay, the Bible is teaching here that the Lord needs to be behind the work that we're doing. Okay, it doesn't mean that we never, you know, well, it doesn't matter how safe we are, so we can just, you know, drive down the road in something that is been proven unsafe. Well, no. What we need to understand is that you can have the safest vehicle in the world, you can have the most well-protected home in the world, but if God isn't behind your life, if God, the Bible says the eye of the Lord is upon them that what? That fear Him. And so if God isn't looking down upon your life with favor, you can have all the best protection in the world, but it's not going to help you because God is not at the center of what you're doing. It says here, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. You can have all the, you can have a watchman telling, hey, the enemy's coming. But it does no good because the Lord is not the one that's guarding the city. Now you think of Babylon as the enemy came in. You know, the great protection, the great walls of the city. But yet, Babylon's time to come to fall had come. And it didn't matter who was protecting the city, they were going to go down. The watchman waketh, but in vain. No physical means of security is ever a substitute for God's protection. One commentator stated, if we imagine that our social and civic life bears no relation to religion and can be organized and maintained without reference to the Almighty, we are only disclosing our utter folly. You know, really, that in many ways is where America is on many fronts. You know, if we, it says, and can be organized and maintained without reference to the Almighty, we are only disclosing our utter folly. You know, do we operate like that as believers? The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse 17, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You know, I'm not saying we should have a weak military in the United States of America, but the strongest military in the world will do nothing for you if God is not fighting for you, if God is fighting against you. Fourthly, I'd like us to see tonight that the amount of worry that one spends on something will only weaken rather than strengthen him. Now, in life, we can spend all sorts of time worrying about something. You know, but that's not going to help the situation. It says in verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. You're going to extend the day. You're going to try to expend all this energy to make this thing go forward. You're going to eat, you know, to eat the bread of sorrows. And it says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Again, here's one. Rising up early, sitting up late. You know, eating the bread of sorrows, maybe the turmoil that comes with, we're going to somehow make this happen. But we need to do what? We need to step back. And we need to see, is God in what I'm doing? You know, and if God's in what we're doing, what does he do? He gives his rest. He gives his beloved sleep. And it doesn't matter when we know God's in what we're doing, we can keep going. It doesn't matter the hardship, the turmoil, the toils that come. It doesn't mean that we just start throwing all that we have into it, thinking that's going to make the difference. But we need to throw all our faith and our trust in God and do everything because he is working. You know, this evening, have you developed a wrong view of life? John Phillips stated, the truth applies to us as much as to Solomon. It applies to every local church and assembly, to every effort made down here to build God's house, that great habitation of God through the Spirit. It is not going to be built by super programs, by slick advertising, by TV commercials. It is not going to be built by oratory in the pulpit or by excellence in the choir. It is not going to be built by high-pressure evangelism, by vast sums of money, by well-organized missions. It is going to be built by the Holy Spirit, by Christ living in and through believers. You know, there are many good things that we can do. There are many good things that we ought to do, but when the thing itself becomes the basis for our success, that is when we have failed. What we need to see is that the Lord is the only one that can make anything succeed that we do. I know it can be an easy trap to fall into. You know, let me give an example how easy it can be to fall into something. Maybe you have a night at Kids Club, Crazy Hat Night, all right? And maybe that night on Crazy Hat Night, I mean, you can see the kids get really excited about Crazy Hat Night, and you have 90 children that show up for Crazy Hat Night. And so what do you say? Well, let's have Crazy Hat Night again because we had 90 people show up. It works. But what do we need to step back and say, no, it's the Lord that allowed that to be beneficial. All right, and so we don't just do something again simply because it was a success, and then we start to say, well, the crazy hats is what made something a success. Not saying you shouldn't do Crazy Hat Night again. What I'm saying is that we need to see that every success is not based upon some idea that we thought of, is not based on something that itself did it. It was based upon the fact that the Lord was working. And everything that we do, every success that we have, is not because of something we did. Now, obviously, God wants us to get out there and do something. All right, but every success comes when the Lord is behind what we are doing. And what we need to be careful to do is not say that was what caused the success, but say, you know what, the Lord used this. And the Lord was the ultimate one that provided the success. Except the Lord build the house. You know, the people are laboring. You know, God's people got involved in building the temple. But why was it a success? God protected them from their enemies. God kept all these enemies from coming in. God was the one behind the building. And if we're going to have something that's going to last for eternity, God needs to be behind what we are doing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, myself, to grab a hold of this truth. Lord, it's so easy to try to do something or try to think of what we can do and then think that what we did was the reason something was successful, when, Lord, it's only what you did that made it successful. Lord, as we surrendered ourselves to your plan. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to set aside so many things that maybe we involve ourselves in that you didn't want us to involve ourselves in. Lord, so that we can focus ourselves in the things that you want us to be involved in. Lord, we pray in our families tonight. Lord, that the Lord would be the center. Lord, we pray that in the ideas that we present, Lord, that it wouldn't be what we want, but Lord, it would be what you want. Lord, we pray that you would help us to realize that it is only what you do that counts. It's only what you're behind, Lord, that will last. And Lord, may you help this church to go forward as we build ourselves upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.